You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number three of Mino and the Mayor, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app. Special thanks to Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. Boy, he's quality, isn't he?
Digs deep. Yep, he's great.
And one of those guys, like, if he comes out with something, you know there's no agenda, there's no whatever. Right. He did his homework, did his due diligence.
Yeah, good.
And he'll get it straight.
So today, with... talking about the weather a lot, but I just want to remind people, it's 8:06, that it's voting day, right? The polls open at 7. And that's important because there's a lot of stuff on the ballot that has to do with education. I just want to say my wife just sent me a text. She just voted. Oh. Number 7. So I was telling you, these primary things, you know, the candidates work hard, but now is your time to thank them for running and going and vote. I don't care who you vote
What's the most you ever had in a primary?
The number of votes?
No. The number of people running in that primary.
Ooh, yeah, I had a few of those.
Because my brother, the first year he ran for sheriff, I think he had 5 or 6.
Yeah, and that's scary.
Because you just never know.
You never know, right? And it's, well, I'm going to vote, they'll say, to the other, I'll vote for you, but if you don't make it through the primary, I'm going to vote for him or something. But it's, like I was telling you guys earlier, is that this, it's winner, and it's not winner take all, but it's two winners take all. And to people who say, well, I'm not going to worry about the primary, it's like, don't know that you really understand the game. So anyway, my point on this thing is, you know, we're usually at this time in our district, and we live in Astor Park, and, you know, it's usually way over 100 people at this time. It's 7. So, and I think that's representative of the whole state, and but you got to get out and vote. Like I said, these people work hard, and, you know, it's just, if nothing else, it's a show of appreciation by going out there and vote. So polls are open until 7 tonight, so... don't think there's long lines.
Let me ask this. Where do you get the money from? Because, I mean, my brother, this is the term he always used about running for office for sheriff, was it's rubbing two nickels together to save a dime from the day after the election.
Okay.
To prepare.
What's your question?
Where do you get that money from?
I mean, you start over. I mean,
that's
right?
That's what he said. The next day, you're rubbing two nickels together to save a dime.
Because they say in that game, you don't want to die rich. What they mean is, don't lose with money in your campaign. So you do spend it all.
Don't save a timeout when you lose a game. Yeah, right, don't take it on the bus. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but I'll tell you, once you get through the primary, and you whittle it down from like your brother 5 to 2, or for me, I think it was 6 to 2, even 3 to 2. People are like, okay, and then you just send out a letter again. I won the primary. Thanks for your support. Now I need another $100, $200, and you start all over. That's just the way it is. Now, these races today, though, are nonpartisan, and it's almost hard to see that because certain groups line up against certain people. But at the end of the day, it is nonpartisan, these school board stuff. So, and these superintendent of schools, and, you know, we got this Supreme Court election coming up in April. There's no primary for that, but that's two people. And, again, nonpartisan, but not sure it is.
But a lot of them, do you spend your own money? I mean, do people?
You know, so there's two schools of thought on that. Some people do. I mean, but look at Herb Kohl, right? Not everybody who runs is a Herb Kohl, but there's two schools of thought on that. And I was like, look, if you want me to take a cut in pay, and I didn't say that, but I mean, you are. I did. That's not the point. It's like, if you want me to leave my job and work for you, you got to support me. I'm not going to put money into my race. Now, I will say nobody knew me when I first ran, and then I gave myself a loan of, I think, $10,000 or $20,000, and then you can pay it back, and that's, you know, totally legit. But you know, it's too bad that campaigns are so expensive, and they are.
That's what I mean.
They
absolutely.
Even,
no question.
They spend, like, I don't know, what is it?
Spend on radio.
Right. 10 times your salary? What? But... the school board stuff, I haven't looked at any campaign finance reports from them, but it's just, they work hard. And what I always learned as a candidate was if you win and the other person was close, they were saying something right. Because they, you know what I mean? Like, so you got to go either sit down with them and say, hey, look, you know, you talked a lot about this development over here. Can you share it with me? And if they're really good and they really care about the city, the community, they're going to say, yeah, this is what I think you should do. And then they become your friend and actually sometimes they end up supporting you.
So. You know, it's one of those things, though, too, when you're in politics like that. I mean, okay, like if you need to go buy a bunch of yard signs, okay, mm-hmm. is there one, like if you went to a company and you bought yours, and your rival bought the same ones.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder? I wonder if they gave him a deal. Yeah. I wonder if they ever.
They better not.
That's what I mean.
They better not. And you're right. But the advertising, which is, you know, you're in TV, that's expensive.
It's
and
so expensive.
Here's the problem with advertising, and I haven't seen a lot of TV ads for some of these local races, but the bleed rate on that is, let's see, Channel 5, right? That's where you used to work. Their area is probably, their reach is probably 900,000 people.
Once into the UP down to below Sheboygan,
right, and then
almost
over,
Wausau,
right, and then over to I don't know if Oshkosh is them, but
oh yeah, definitely Oshkosh.
Okay, so you're running this ad saying vote for me, I'm the mayor. You're 10%, so you're spending all that money on people who like you never vote for me. So anyway, it's
I did a write in.
Yeah. I think Mickey Mouse
and I postmarked it from Green Bay. I really did.
But today's the day to get out and vote. And it's education, which, I mean, people, that's your economic future right there is education. I mean, these kids who are, you know, in fourth grade are going to be in our workforce in 10 years. So make sure we're doing it right. Yep. I had a guy on my show on that Lean Local from the school board. He's talking and talking, going on and on about, you know, we're doing remodeling this school here. And then we're going to build, I think we're going to raise this property and sell this to so-and-so and then build here. And I'm like, okay, enough about the bricks and mortar. What's going on inside the school? You know, how are test scores doing? How are fourth grade, fifth grade reading scores doing? You know, and that's why I think it's, you got to kind of lean into that a little bit, because whether your kids are in school or not, believe me, that's probably the biggest economic influencer we have. And people live in certain areas because of schools.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you were in real estate.
Oh, well, you know what, though? I didn't find it around here nearly as much as I did in the Valley. Because in the Valley, if their kids were in sports, they wanted Nina or Kimberly, like you can't believe. And it'd be like, well, was this the district? And is that open?
Will he play there or she play there?
Oh, yeah. Man. And their kids would be like six. You know what I mean? It's not like there's a sophomore in high school and he's transferring.
Right.
They were very specific, the schools they wanted to for sports.
And I think when they buy, you know, we've talked about before, but I mean, you're going to look at your kids and where are my kids going? You buy a house, they're probably going to go to grade school and high school out of that house. You know,
right.
People don't move that often. They said every 7 years. I don't buy that. I think people stay a lot longer than that. But school districts, I mean, you look at the park system, obviously you look at the crime rate. But when you look at the school districts, that is so important to economic development. It's unbelievable. So anyway, I can't wait to go vote. I've done my research. And that's the other thing. I don't know. It's so complicated. Well, no, it's not. Myvote.gov. Just put it in there. It's going to pop up. It's going to say, what's your address? Oh, I live at Spring Street. And then the ballot pops up. It's your ballot. This is where you vote at the water department. And this is what's on the ballot.
Online. You can't actually do the vote, though.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, which is a good thing. But what I'm saying, and then you look at it like, oh, geez, I don't know. Well, how hard is it to go to Google and research the candidates? And then it's 15 minutes. Maybe. We were talking about that last night. You know, who you voting for this and back and forth. And it's not like in the old days where my mom and dad wouldn't even, it's a big secret. Still think it is a secret thing, but I don't know.
Sometimes. I cannot tell you which way my parents ever voted for a president of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot tell you. They were so private with that. And that's one thing. You know, a lot of people tell me sometimes, it's like, I'm surprised you're not more this way or that. And I'm like, you have no idea which way I am. But I was brought up. That is a – and you know
and
what?
That's cool.
And they consider that a little bit of a right of being an American.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my family didn't come over until like 1915 or something like that.
Right.
That moved here. And that was
– secret ballots.
They thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And they kept that private.
Do you think we'd be in – better shape as a country as far as getting along and stuff if that were a little bit more true?
Absolutely.
Again, you know, like people just kind of kept some of it to themselves
exactly.
And not felt like they had to say everything they were feeling,
and they considered that the greatest right that they could possibly have.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they my family moved from fascism,
yeah, right,
you know, a lot of those places over there. Yeah. So you gotta think, crazy, oh my gosh, now I can come here and I can just go. And but another thing over there, I think, you know, you had to be careful because, you know, what you say, somebody, not only a different part, oh, I mean, God. What I mean, way on the other side of the fence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
today I have that show on Sundays at Lean Local today. I'm interviewing Tony Weed, who won the congressional race. And that's going to be fun. I'm interested in talking to him about everything from, you know, Greenland to, but Todd was talking about what would change things. I think the biggest change that we could see that I'm an advocate for, obviously was when I was mayor here, is term limits. I just really think it's like there's an end to my life in politics, and the way our forefathers designed this thing was they never thought it was going to be a career job. And I just think that you've got to look at 18 years, maybe, because it's got to be divisible by six. 12 years, maybe that's not enough time, but we've got to, it's crazy what's this 30, 40 year stuff that is not, and it becomes more powerful as you get in. I'm really interested to talk to Tony about that. Like, as a freshman, do they treat you like an equal, or do they treat you like a freshman? You know what I mean? Like, when you get in there.
Yeah.
And he is just as much, his vote counts just as much as.
I remember I was working with Jay Johnson when he ran for Congress and won.
Yeah, he did.
And I talked to him after. I said, what's it like? And he goes, a lot of breakfast meetings. It's like, you can't do anything without it being a breakfast meeting.
Oh, that's, yeah.
But he said, I really enjoyed it, though. He said, you're sitting at the table with these guys that you've seen on CNN or whatever. And
they're very respected. And they should be, right? I mean, these guys are in there, and they're working pretty hard. But it's, I don't know, Chris.
I'm a big fan of the breakfast meeting. What? I just am. I'm a big fan of breakfast meetings.
You're probably at your best.
You're at your best. You know, nothing's ticked you off yet during the course of the day.
And I liked when they, one of these people that was getting confirmed, and this one senator goes, you guys come back here at night drinking. He called him out right on the floor. I'm like, wow. You
wow.
Anyway, yeah, I know, right? He was, I don't know, that life is, I would agree that a lot of breakfast
was, you know what's weird, though,
good,
with you mentioned about politics, Todd, you brought it up about if people didn't talk as much about their things.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, where was it? I want to say, like, maybe in the state of Florida or someplace, where this one woman, one congressman or whatever she is, got into it with somebody else. She goes, you want to step outside?
Isn't that great?
And the person told the person running it, it's like, what? Are you going to allow that? That's the threat. Goes, well, she wanted to go outside and have a cup of coffee. It's like, are you kidding?
People complain. We had back in the day when everybody carried guns, we had something that happened in Wisconsin. So it's just, look, I think there's always been this over emotion. At the end of the day, you're kind of working on the same thing. It's just you're taking two totally different strategies to get there. Anyway.
Well, isn't there also something in that when I did that visit to the Capitol about where one of the guys took a cane and beat the hell out of another one back in the day?
That wasn't that far back in the day. Could happen again. To find you with the working girls in your county jail. I was
smoking with the boys upstairs when I heard of. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
App from Hobart to.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here in a cold 31-degree wind chill day in downtown Green Bay. Oshkosh. Wow, it just keeps dropping. Oshkosh is now 14 degrees below zero, and it started at what, Todd, like 6?
It was like minus 8 or something like that.
Eight?
Maybe minus 9.
Wow, look at these temperatures.
Yeah, that's cold.
14 below in Oshkosh, 11 below in Appleton, 11 below in Green Bay, 31 degrees below zero wind chill in Northeast Wisconsin. I want to get an expert on, because I said some things about the car thing earlier, and I'm just taking that from what I see in the little feed things on TikTok or whatever it is I watch. We need a car guy, like a legitimate car mechanic kind of guy or woman. As far as letting your cars run in this kind of weather, because I've heard both ways. I've heard that that can really damage your engine. And there are people, like I said, that lived outside of my apartment complex, could kind of 20 minutes?
Well, yeah.
Easy. I mean, they would walk out in their pajamas. Yeah. It'd be this cold. They would walk out in their pajamas and then walk back in, and like a good 20 minutes later would come back in their work clothes.
Or like some of us, send your kid out there, start the car.
Or that. I used to like that, though.
Yeah, that's true. They that always never said no.
No.
Right? Oh, my dad.
That part was actually really fun. Although I remember one time he comes out and it couldn't start, and I didn't know what grinding the ignition meant.
Oh, wearing down the battery.
Yeah. It's like, no!
Yeah. You know, that'd be interesting to ask, because I let my car, I get in there, I start it, check my messages, and then I leave. So 45 seconds, maybe? Maybe.
I think that actually might be about what they say is. Are you talking though in the garage or if it's sitting outside?
Like right now, I'm going to leave in a half hour, 45 minutes, and I'll just go. My car's right over there, and I'm going
to
get in there.
It just seems like you got to get that oil warm enough to. Doesn't it, realistically, it's almost like warming up before you would go sprinting? You know, your body.
Yeah, I don't know.
Car people. Let us know. We don't know. We're floundering here, people.
Right,
we're trying to act like we know cars a lot better than we do, especially the modern cars.
Yeah.
You know what we should call? Todd, can you make a call for me?
Oh.
Can you call Downtown Auto?
Yeah.
Oh, I can do that.
You got their number?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Give Todd their number. Okay. If anybody knows, it'll be them.
You take this. I'm going to give Todd their number.
Because I remember back in the day, when with those cars, and again, this was the UP and everything like that, and it was like, oh, man, you got to let that thing run for like 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes to get that oil warm, get the transmission fluid warm, or else you're going to have all kinds of problems. Then it seemed like something happened, and it's like, well, that's about the worst thing you can do for your car in really cold weather is to let it run that long because it had something to do with the exhaust would build up or the emissions or something, yada, yada, yada. Again, I didn't have machine shop class. I didn't have auto shop class. So all I know about cars is from messing up my own. I try to fix them and work on them and things like that.
That's why our parents gave us beaters.
I know, right?
They knew, especially, well.
And that's the truth.
Yes.
That is the truth.
He's going to reach out.
Okay.
Those guys are experts. I mean, they fix your car. They fix my car. So
you want to talk about old school?
That
where
is.
You walk into a place, we talk about smells.
Greasy hands.
You walk in, it's got that grease smell. And I mean that in the most complimentary way possible.
No, they, it is. That's a different life. But people who I think like cars, love cars.
Yeah.
You talk about that side hustle. We were just talking to that guy earlier. You know, it's like I've always worked on my car when I was a kid. And to be a mechanic, that's a dream job. Whereas some of us, that wouldn't be my dream job.
You know what? One thing I still have on my list of things I want to do. Someday, because I drive past it all the time, there's that junkyard in, I think, Menchelville.
Yeah.
With those cars from, like, the 40s.
Yeah.
My God, like, acres of them.
Yeah.
I would love to just go walk around there, pick one out, buy it, bring it to a guy, okay, and say, could I work on this with you? Could I just grind off some of the rust or do whatever? I just think that'd be one of the most fun things to do. Oh, ask a call back in 10 minutes. Okay.
Don't you worry about the rust and what's going into the land, the water, and all that junk
stuff?
Yeah. I do. Sure you do. You're going to go there, some environmentalist is going to show up right next to you and close up.
Well, I just came back from saving the whales thing 2 weeks ago with Evergreen, or who's that company? Who's that group?
Yeah, right.
What's the name of that group? They'd go to save. They'd go, like, they'd always harass the Russian and Japanese, which I thought was balls. Harass, like, those Russian whalers. It's like, Greenpeace.
Okay, yeah, Greenpeace.
Greenpeace.
Yeah, those, yeah.
Greenpeace. That's who it is. Yes. But, yeah, I'm big in the environment. You know, it's funny. I don't know why. I was reading this thing, because I had two snakes around my house. Okay. But Chuck says, how about the overcall with a carburetor if you pump the gas too much and flooded it, you were in super big trouble. Chuck, 100% correct.
With my dad.
Mine too.
Oh, man.
And that's why I was grinding it. That's why I was grinding the ignition then.
Yeah.
Because I flooded it.
Yeah, once you flooded it, and then he's going to be late, and
we got him on, two minutes. 2 minutes. Is that a two?
No, 2 minutes for us to be off, and then we're going to get this guy back.
Gotcha. I thought, okay. But that was, I could still see it in my mind, where I'm sitting in there, and it's like, okay, was it one long pump and then half the way up?
Or is it three quick ones?
Exactly. And in my mind right now, I can't tell you which way it was. But I remember almost like sweating. It's like, oh, crap. I don't remember now.
If you flood it, he would not be happy.
And I remember him saying, be careful out there in Notre Dame. It's like, Dad, come on. I'm just starting a car. I know what I'm doing.
And all the different engines, you know, snowblower, lawnmower. Right. My dad always had it written down, how many pumps you gave it. He did. And it was, he always had a little notepad that said.
For the choke, like for the
prime it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Prime it six times and then choke it and give it a go.
That's like me. I've got notes all over my garage on how to do it perfectly.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, just step over this. Watch for the nails.
Not one thing.
Why are the nails sticking up?
We got a text from somebody. Randy says, saw something last night where a guy said to use the cruise control because the low idle wasn't good, but only for a short time. So I don't know how you turn the cruise on if you're not moving, but that's
warmed it up that way.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I
like that. I struggle with that, though. With cruise control.
Oh, but that's the best thing.
It's not that easy,
God,
though.
I love it.
It's a little more complicated than you think. Everybody thinks that's like the easiest thing.
Push the button, the green light's on, cruise, push, get up to 80 or wherever you're going to go, or whatever, that's 70, I mean, and then you just hit the button.
I got three, you know what? Don't 85. Even get Todd and I started on our Kias. Hey, Todd?
Yeah.
Well, they're so complicated trying to do cruise on Kias.
Yeah.
It's this whole South Korean thing.
Great.
Telling you. Back after this.
Oh, good.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back.
We are. I just want to thank our listeners.
Yes.
We're getting some valuable information. What's important about, read that text that we got in from that
Craig.
One guy.
According to most automotive experts, you should only let a modern car warm up for a very short time, typically just a few seconds to a minute, as driving gently is the best way to warm up the engine and is more fuel efficient than idling for an extended period. In most cases, you can start driving as soon as you fastened your seatbelt and adjusted your mirrors. Key points about warming up your car. Modern cars don't need long idling. Modern engines with fuel injection systems can handle driving immediately after starting, even in cold weather. Okay.
I wonder what modern car looks at.
I wonder what a fuel injection system is.
Yeah, I don't. That's, I think that's just in airplanes.
Todd, you'd be the kind of guy that would
know. No idea. But the other thing that I keep hearing about, now my car has that thing where it'll shut down when you come to a stoplight and then restart up when you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got that?
I do. But now I'm hearing don't do that. Shut that off if you can because it'll ruin your starter.
Okay. I asked about that because my car does that.
Is that a gas-saving thing?
Supposed to be, right?
It's not going to ruin your starter.
It's not.
Nope. It's the guy that you're going to get on the phone one of these days. He told me that. Don't. Because I'm like, look, I don't think I like that. My car stops at every stoplight. And it's like, don't worry about it. That's the design that way. So I don't know.
Is he just trying to get a starter at some point down the road?
Yeah, $200 later.
That would make me nervous that it wouldn't start again or something.
In heavy traffic, and it shuts off?
That would make me really nervous.
I think, you know what? Flashback, maybe I felt like that a couple times, but no, it doesn't happen. Yeah, it's weird because there's cars behind you.
Right.
And, you know, there may be somebody behind you that's impatient. Not like me, that would beep the horn if it didn't start. So.
And then you're going down Ashland and they give you the finger.
That would be you.
And you're trying to crawl out your car to give it back. You mean that?
Yeah.
Okay, Todd, I'm going to give you another number to call.
Okay, I'll come in there and get it.
Okay. Because I got to talk to a guy. There's about? Some other about cars and this time. One of the things is about batteries. I remember, so when I was a kid, I remember neighbors having a big old quilt at night they would put over.
No.
To keep the batteries warm.
Why don't you buy one of those batteries that guarantees your car is going to start?
Because they didn't make them back then.
No, yeah.
1920s.
Well, they came over in 15. Cars were, when were cars invented? 29 or 10 or something? Or maybe lower.
All right, just hang on one second. I'm going to get my boy Royce at Green Bay Rebuilders.
All right.
Mm-mm-mm. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, Pat. We will. We'll talk about cars. And the other thing I think we should suggest is if your car sleeps outside, don't just scrape off a little place where you can look through the windshield.
That's what I do.
I know that.
I'm the worst
but
at that.
You really got to, while your car's warming up, walk around and you get it off the back and the side windows because that's, I mean, I know you can see, but.
I know. I agree with you in that. I agree. But I'm terrible at it. I remember I used to have that little Carmen Ghia and I'd go to school in the mornings. And then one neighbor say, there goes John and the driving snowbank.
Right, the little pizza. That's all you can see out of there.
But you know what, though?
No.
I didn't have a choice. Well, I mean, as far as I didn't have a choice. But with those stupid Carmen Ghias back in those days.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a little Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It had a air-cooled engines. Mm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it's not like you had a water pump, a radiator where the water would get hot and then they'd blow out the air. It would that engine had to warm up for you to get any heat. That could take like half an hour if it was super cold. Oh, yeah. Sometimes 40 minutes. I used to ride with a blanket over me and an ice scraper, and I'd scrape the insides of my windshield because I'd have so much condescended. And I tried creating. I even went to electronics class and asked the teacher if he could rig it up.
Oh, thank God. Somebody's on the phone.
So I could plug in a blow dryer, my hair blow dryer, into my car.
Okay. All right. Savior. I mean, caller.
Rice.
Yes.
You're live on the air. Keep it clean.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for that warning.
That's all right. This is Rice from Green Bay Rebuilders, located on Velp Avenue. Rice, we're talking about if you should, you know, windchill is 31 degrees below zero out there. 14 degrees below zero in Oshkosh, just normal. Appleton, 11 below. Green Bay, 11 below. If you've had your car sitting out in a parking lot all night, how long should you warm it up?
Well, I have a remote starter on my truck. I've been doing two cycles, which I think they're 8 minutes or 10 minutes, and it shuts off and you have to restart it. Unfortunately, it only does it twice, and then you push the button and it doesn't start. You have to walk out there, no matter what your state of dress. So I would go at least a 5 minutes to get the engine warmed up and stuff. But in this type of weather, the heater, depending on what type of vehicle you have, may or may not be actually blowing hot by that point. So from a comfort standpoint, that kind of varies vehicle to vehicle. So if you want to get in and have it be warm and nice and toasty inside, and have all the windows defrosted and all that, it needs to go longer in most cases.
But
just from the engine standpoint, I'd give it a good, 5 minutes. If you have to get in and you're like, I got to go right now, I'm late or whatever, you can start it up and just take it easy on it. Yeah. Don't drive like my former employee that would start it up and seems like if the tires aren't spinning on pavement, it's not running properly. So
I'll tell you what, take it easy
if it's still cold.
But they have done a good job with the seat warmers.
Yeah.
Those go quick. You hit that to 3, which is highest mine go. That thing is very warm, very quick, much, much quicker than the car warming up or maybe the engine. That was a good invention, whoever did that.
They're coming stock. Now, some of the vehicles will actually have those turn on when you remote start.
Oh, they do?
And some of them don't.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so.
All right. Yeah, whoever invented that, I hope he made a lot of money. Like that guy with the cruise control. Like he made a boatload of money. I think that's awesome.
Oh, I believe that.
When you come up with an enhancement.
I just wish they make it a little less complicated. But Rice, he doesn't believe me. That when I was growing up as a kid, nobody had garages to put their cars in. And I'm in the UP, that people would put blankets over the hood of their cars at night. He doesn't believe that happened.
No, I don't. Rice?
I mean, it. I'm sure it happened.
Well, up
How
there.
Useful it is might be another story. But if you're talking just a blanket that's not heated at all, I don't know if it's going to do a whole lot.
Right.
It might keep the heat in a little bit. But once it's cold, it's cold. Starting it up, it might hold a hair more heat under the hood when in the car is warming up, but an inanimate object that's not creating any heat can't, blanket's not going to do anything.
It's not going to generate heat.
You can wrap a popsicle in a blanket and it's not going to warm it up. The blanket holds heat in from what's being created by the thing that's wrapped around. So
like your body.
They used to make those, like winter covers for batteries. I don't see those anymore, Royce. Are those things still around?
Unless they're like plugged into an outside heat source, they're really not going to do anything.
Right.
Same idea. You're wrapping something that's not creating heat, so it's not holding keyed in. Most of the, even my my supplier for batteries that I sell, I asked them about them. And they go, yeah, if they start getting a little tattered or whatever, just throw them away when you change the battery, because he goes, they really don't do anything.
So has the, when we were kids, you know, we had to jump cars and, you know, you had to make sure you got the cables with you.
Hey, but let me tell you something. Royce can give you a lecture right now on people that blew up batteries in their faces by hooking them up wrong.
Yeah. Well, we should talk about that, because I think that could be interesting. What I want to ask, has there been an advancement in batteries? Like, you look at phones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so, right, you can get a battery now that, don't they guarantee your car's going to start? Like, you'll never need a battery?
You mean a charge?
Oh, no.
You'll never need a battery?
That's not a thing that I've ever heard of.
I thought there was
anything, even the full electric cars, the batteries will fail in those. So, I mean, no matter what you spend
I want my money back.
on a battery.
Was it like a lifetime guarantee?
End up going bad. Yeah. But.
Okay. Anyway, tell our listeners and me and John, the correct way to jump a car.
I'm actually going to write this down, because so I always try to think.
Don't want the cars touching, even though there's a lot of plastic on cars now. Any metal from car to car is going to act as a ground where the frame is grounded of the vehicle. So both frames are touching, or metal parts of the car are touching. You're going to have a connection there, so you don't want that. You're going to hook up the positive on one battery to positive on the other battery first. It doesn't really matter which one you hook up first, because without the negatives hooked up, that's not a live circuit. And then you're going to hook the biggest key to jump starting is hook the negative on the live vehicle. So the negative black jumper cable to the live negative battery terminal, almost last. And then the very last one you're going to hook up is on the dead vehicle. You're going to hook up that ground
the
cable.
Negative.
To the engine block or somewhere away from the battery, because the battery being dead may or may not be producing sulfuric acid fumes that are explosive. So if you hook a battery cable up to the battery and that last connection is when everything is going to be live, if you hook that up and you get sparks or worse, you do like a lot of people I see, you hook them up and you wiggle the cables as much as you can to get a good connection on that battery, you're going to create sparks, and those sparks are what could ignite any fumes that are there and blow the battery right up.
Wow, I don't think I knew that. I thought that it went back to the negative on the dead battery, but you're saying no.
No, you don't.
Where does it get hooked to?
Final connection.
Yeah.
Whatever connection is being made last is completing the circuit. Hooking one battery to, or one vehicle to the other vehicle. So the if you hook the positive up last or the negative up last, it wouldn't matter which one you do last, but the last connection is going to complete the circuit, and then you're going to get sparks because you have a running vehicle that's creating, the alternator is charging, and you're using that alternator then to charge or jump start. Even if the vehicle's off, you've got one battery that's lower than the other, so there's power transferring from one to the other. That last connection is going to complete the circuit and give you sparks. You want those sparks as far away from either battery, realistically, but usually you're hooking it up on the dead vehicle last, you want that away from. But even if you did it in reverse or the wrong way and hooked it up to the live vehicle, you're still going to get those sparks. And there's a reason there's a sticker or engraving or whatever right on the top of that battery that says danger, no smoking, no flames, no sparks. That is a liability thing for the battery companies. You cannot sell a battery without that sticker on the top of it.
You've known people that have had them blow up in their faces, haven't you, Royce?
Oh yeah, we've had cores come back that are missing one or two or three sides. We've had people that blown them up from doing the jumping them or trying to push power into a battery that's frozen. If the vehicle sat and the battery is dead, like completely dead, and it's this weather outside, it could be frozen. If you try to jump start a frozen battery, the chemical reaction that creates and charges that battery isn't able to happen because, it's frozen, and that just won't work, and that can blow up the battery too.
Okay.
It can blow up like an M80.
All right, one more question here. So red to red, black to...
Red to red.
And then black to something else in the car, not the battery.
But I will say this.
That could be the engine block.
No, I get it.
Sometimes the shock tower where your strut is on the front. You'll have a nice, clean nut. Basically a non-painted, good...
That's what I was going to say. There are so many parts there now that look like metal, but they're actually plastic or coated That I've done that where I thought I got it on like in a bracket, and it's good, but it turns out it's plastic, okay, but it's so much like metal.
Yeah. So what's the proper way?
That is the only advantage to the spark. So hooking that connection up last, you're going to get sparks.
You know,
typically
it, yeah.
away from the battery, when you hook it up and you hook it to a ground connection, you're going to see sparks.
Okay. What's
so if
the proper
away from
way?
The battery,
okay.
You're fine.
I got it.
So if you're hooking it up to the engine block or to the mount, you know, one of the mounting gears, the alternator or the air conditioner mounting bolt or something that you have a good clean connection, you're going to see sparks with that. If you don't see sparks, odds are one of the other connections is not good. It's two, whether it's the positive on the live vehicle, the positive on the dead vehicle. Check to make sure the negative cable that is hooked up to the live vehicle didn't pop off. You know, a lot of times when it's cold, too, and the jumper cables are cold, especially if you have cheap, like Walmart jumper cables and not good, high-quality ones that are more flexible, those things get really stiff. So you unwind them, and then you hooking up or moving the cables on the dead vehicle is going to pull them and pop a cable off from the live vehicle.
All right, so just quickly, I'm going to get going here. I just got a question.
Like, oh, shoot, it came off the other side. Make sure you unhook that last cable that you hooked up before you try hooking up. Because if that one's hooked up on the other vehicle and you walk back over to the live vehicle and you start, you know, doing the same thing, you're going to have the same issue.
All right, one last.
Sparks.
Right.
That last connection is going to give you spark.
One last quick question for you. Should you have the good car running while you hook it up?
Yeah, you can have it running. Okay. Usually you'd like to have it running because if you hook it up to the dead vehicle and that starts pulling power, you may or may not have enough power to start your live vehicle once it's hooked to the dead vehicle because that dead vehicle is going to start stealing power from it.
Awesome. Royce, Green Bay Rebuilders, thank you so very much, my friend.
Yep.
And by the way, Jill from Green Bay says seat warmers are great when you pick up a pizza to take home to keep it warm. Thank you, Jill. Becca.
Ooh.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back to Car Talk. Car Talk.
Right, that's it'd be a pretty short show with
there's
you and me.
There's a guy who's phenomenal who used to do a radio show. I know he also had a syndicated in the newspaper. I think a Press Gazette might have carried him at the time. I want to say it was Tony Mazzolini or something like that. And he would be like, hey, Tony, how long should you let a car battery warm up before you start? What, you nuts? I freaking told you this a couple of times. Here's what you got to do. He was one of those kind of guys.
See, if you and I did Car Talk, it would be like, well, we like white with a tan interior.
I spilled something, and I cannot get this off.
The cup holders, make sure you get the cup holders that can expand to the wider cups, because now the big Slurpee,
exactly.
It doesn't fit in the old ones.
You know, if you're driving with a 40,
That would be UP Car
Talk. That would be UP Car Talk. We got two more questions. We don't want to bother Rice anymore. So we need somebody else. Craig or somebody else, if you're listening, we have to. Should you? Okay, so you got a dead, your car's dead. The guy, the friendly Samaritan, is there. He hooks it all up.
Red, black to something else.
Yep.
So, all right, so the good Samaritan does that.
It's all hooked up. Should you wait for a while before starting up your car and just kind of suck in a bunch of juice from the other one?
Or can you just
first
connect it and start it?
And I think you're supposed to wait, let that other car, accelerate, right?
And
rev up a little bit and then go for it. I don't know how that all works.
That's what I mean. And it's one of those things we've all done it a million times and probably did it wrong.
Why would
90% of the time?
Revving up increases your battery?
Well, if you're the one giving the power, right?
Really?
You want to rev it up to help. Because otherwise,
you got more RPM,
putting out a little more power then.
Okay. So we're like, how long? And if it's 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then, then you disconnect the cables, and then how long do you have to drive around so your battery doesn't die? I mean, if you shut it off right then and start it again, it's probably not gonna. I don't know anything about this, but do you drive around for 10 minutes or 15 minutes? Or you let it idle, so that I don't have to do this again.
I think it depends a little bit on the temp. Because if a battery's dead, a battery's dead.
What I mean? It doesn't
get deader. Degree. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
But I think the temperature, like we got like so cold here Somebody just texted, new segment, dumb guys on cars.
You know what? I think that, wow. Name, that I think that name would win, Craig. Thank you.
That is, yeah. That's not bad. That's
we got a great lineup tomorrow. But today's dumb guys on cars. So.
I still want to know the answer to that one though.
Yeah, okay, that's a good.
How long to drive around, and does the temperature out there matter? Because, okay, a guy told me one time, a guy I used to work with, oh, a good guy, Todd, you probably worked with, you know John Stubby?
Yeah,
Stubby was on the radio for 50 years in Green Bay.
Long time.
Good guy, but a real car nut kind of guy. And I remember him getting a discussion with somebody in the air. They turned, get into an argument on it, that it doesn't matter. Stubby was saying it doesn't matter what the wind chill is. And I remember he used this term because it's like, well, I'm going to use that word as often as possible. The iambic temperature? Is that a word?
That's usually iambic pentameter or something.
Yeah,
but
something like that. Where, okay, so Green Bay, 11 below zero. That's the temperature. The wind chill doesn't matter to something that is innate.
We call that real. The real temperature.
The real temperature.
Yeah, but you call it iambic?
I don't think that's right. That no, iambic either. Pentameter is a poetic rhythm, right? So I don't know if that.
He didn't know anything about cars.
Okay, he's the only one.
No, there's a term. There's a term I can't think of out there about the temperature, what it really is versus what it gets pushed to more because of the wind.
Well, yeah, it's
there's a term. There's a good term. It's like a Greek term.
Fahrenheit?
No. Ambic. The ambic. Ambic. Ambiotic. Ambiotic.
Ambiotic.
No, that's not it. I'll think about it.
Put you to sleep.
Don't we have any car experts out there?
Wow. All right.
So anyway, start your bet.
Absolute temperature?
No.
If you
need, we learned something today. We might be saving somebody's face. If you're getting your car jumped, positive to positive. Negative, hook up to the live car. Then take your black and hook it up to some part of the engine. As far away from the actual battery as you can.
That's metal.
To metal. And be careful because a lot of it's plastic.
Yep.
Yes. So there you go.
Okay. All right. And
there it is. That's the word. Ambient. Mike and Nancy. Thank you, Mike and Nancy. John is looking for the word ambient temperature.
Yep. Kind of like what Jim used to take to sleep.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I took ambient.
I'm not
took a lot of it.
There aren't many stories I won't even touch a little bit. That one I won't touch.
Good, leave it alone.
Even a little
leave
bit.
It alone. That must cost me my marriage.
It sounds like there was some touching that took place.
Was it your marriage? Is that what you said?
Almost, yeah, that is not a good drug. Don't stay away from that.
Yeah.
That's not a good drug.
Ambient, so. That's the word.
Ambient temperature.
Yeah. Ambient right.
temperature. That's just... I don't know.
I was so close. It's mind-boggling.
That's a trigger for me. Don't mention that anymore.
Unbelievable. Okay. Hey, Amanda back there?
Yes.
Thank you for setting up that author yesterday. Boy, she was good.
Oh, who?
The author that we had. Todd set that up.
I did that, yeah.
Oh, the three books.
Okay. Did you set up the Lion's Tail Brewing?
Yes, I did.
I struggled with the word brewing.
Yeah, that guy was...
He was great, too.
He was great.
So thank you for eating.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right, cool.
How was things in Manitowoc? How was the roads?
You know, not too bad. Also, I did set up Wonderfully Wisconsin, so Paul was here yesterday.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he was great.
Excellent. And then, any cars in the ditch? When I drove back yesterday, the day before, there were 7 cars in the ditch right around Denmark.
So, my neighbor, kitty corner for me, was actually, like, half in the street, half in his driveway. Just left his car there. I don't know if he couldn't get his car over the snow or what, but
Jeez. That's
the only thing I saw.
Get the chance.
Okay.
All right. Hey, all right. So
all
today,
right, then.
Thanks for listening. Get out and vote today. This is an important day. I know it's the primary, but it's myvote.gov. It's going to tell you where to vote and what's on the ballot.
And my good buddy just texted us, a longtime listener. Just so you guys know, the entire audience is now dumber for listening to you two for the last 10 minutes.
Sorry.
You will receive 0 points. May God have mercy on your souls. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.